Part One of Electra. This is the LibriVox recording. All LibriVox recordings are in the public domain. For more information or to volunteer, please visit LibriVox.org. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine. Electra by Sophocles. Translated by Francis Storr, 1839 to 1919. Part One. Argument. Orestes, admonished by the Delphic oracle to avenge his murdered father, sets forth for Mycenae, accompanied by his aged Pedagogus and Pylades. When in sight of the palace, they lay their plot. The Pedagogus is to present himself as a Phocian messenger, and announce to Clytemnestra that Orestes has been killed in a chariot race at the Pythian Games. Meanwhile, Orestes and Pylades are to make funeral offerings at the tomb of Agamemnon, and then, disguised as Phocians, to carry to the queen a funeral urn, telling her it holds the ashes of Orestes. Clytemnestra, warned by an evil dream, sends Chrysothemis to pour a libation on the tomb. Electra meets her on the way thither, and persuades her to leave those impious offerings, and take instead such gifts as the two sisters can make to their father's ghost. Clytemnestra enters with a handmaid bearing fruits to be laid on the altar of Apollo. She rates Electra for being abroad without her leave, and defends her past acts against Electra's reproaches. The announcement of a messenger ends the altercation, and the queen hears with feigned sorrow and ill-concealed joy the news of Orestes' death, and invites the messenger to accompany her to the palace. Chrysothemis returns from the tomb, reporting that someone has been there before us, has wreathed the mound with flowers, and left on the edge a lock of hair. Who can it be but Orestes? Electra disabuses her, repeating the messenger's sad tale, and entreats her aid in executing the resolve to slay with her own hands their unnatural mother and her paramour. Orestes joins them with Pylades and attendants, bearing the funeral urn. She takes the urn in her hands and makes her moan over her lost brother. As they converse together, Orestes by degrees reveals himself and discloses his purpose. With Pylades he enters the palace, and shortly a death shriek is heard. He comes forth, and in answer to Electra replies that all is well in the house. Aegisthus is seen approaching, exultant at the report he has heard of Orestes' death. Electra confirms it, and bids him enter the palace and see with his own eyes the corpse. At his bidding, the palace doors are thrown open, and on a bier is seen a veiled corpse. Aegisthus lifts the facecloth and beholds the corpse of Clytemnestra, with Orestes standing hard by. He knows that his fate is sealed, and is driven at the sword's point by Orestes to be slain in the hall where Agamemnon was slain. The chorus of free Mycenaean women hail the death of the usurper, which ends the curse on the house of Atreus. Dramatis personae. Aged servant of Orestes, Orestes son of Agamemnon, the late king of Argos, and Clytemnestra, Electra and Chrysothemis, daughters of Agamemnon and Clytemnestra. Clytemnestra, queen of Argos and Mycenae. Aegisthus, cousin of Agamemnon, sometime paramour of Clytemnestra, and now prince consort. Chorus of Mycenaean women. Scene at Mycenae before the palace of Agamemnon. Electra, Part One. Enter aged servant with Orestes and Pylades. Aged servant, O child of Agamemnon, who sometime was captain of the host that leaguered Troy, 'tis thine at last to view before thee spread the scene thy heart was set on. Yonder lies old Argos, thou so long hast yearned to see, once refuge of the gadfly-driven maid, daughter of Inachus. And Orestes here the marketplace from the wolf-slayer named. There on our left is Hera's far-famed shrine, and lo, before us, at our very feet, thou seest Mycenae of the golden horde, and there the palace grim of Pelops' line, deep stained with murder. Thence I bore thee once, snatched from beside thy father's bleeding corse by kindly hands, thy sister's. Rescued thus, I fostered thee, till thou hadst reached the age to be the avenger of thy father's blood. But now, Orestes, and thou, Pylades, dearest of friends, the hour for you is ripe, to take resolve, and that right speedily. For lo, already the bright beams of day waken to melody the pipe of birds, and black night with her glimmering stars has waned. So ere a soul be stirring in the streets, confer together and resolve yourselves. No time for longer pause, now must we act. Orestes. Dearest of followers, how well thou show'st the constant service of thy loyalty. For as the high-bred steed, though he be old, pricks up his ears and champs the bit for joy when battle rages, even so dost thou both urge us on and follow with the first. Therefore I will unfold our plans, and thou note well my words, and if in aught I seem to miss the mark, admonish and correct. Know then that when I left thee to consult the Pythian oracle and learn how best to execute just vengeance for my sire on those that slew him, Phoebus answered thus, "Trust not to shields or armed hosts, but steal the chance thyself the avenging blow to deal." Since then the Pythian god hath thus advised, "Go thou and watch thine opportunity to enter in the palace and observe what happens there and bring us full report. And fear not to be recognized. Long years and thy white locks, the blossom of old age, have changed thee wholly. Forge some specious tale. Thou art a Phocian stranger hither sent by Phanoteus, their doughtiest ally. Report, confirming with an oath the tale, how that Orestes by a fatal chance hath perished, from his speeding chariot hurled, so let thy tale run, at the Pythian games. And we meanwhile, as the god ordered us, first having crowned my father's sepulchre with pure libations and rich offerings of new-shorn tresses, will return anon, and earn of well-wrought brasswork in our hands. The same we hid in the brushwood, as thou know'st, this will confirm the feigned tale we bring, that I am dead, and to the pyre consigned, naught left of me but ashes and grey dust. Little reck I by rumour to be dead, so I live on to win me deathless fame. The end, methinks, gives any fraud excuse. Oft have I heard of men reputed wise, who spread the rumour of their death, and so, returning home, a heartier welcome found. Thus, by my bruited death, I too aspire to blaze a sudden meteor on my foes. But, O my country and my country's gods, give me fair welcome, prosper my emprise, and greet me too, thou palace of my sires. A heaven-sent purger of thy stain I come. Send me not forth again to banishment, but, oh, restore to me its ancient wealth. May I refound its old prosperity. Enough of words. Go presently, old friend, attend thy business, and we too will go, and watch the time, for opportunity is the best captain of all enterprise. Electra within. Ah me! Unhappy me! Aged servant. Hist! From the doors a voice, my son, methought, a wailing as of some handmaid within. Orestes. Can it be sad Electra? Shall we stay and overhear her lamentable plaint? Aged servant. Not so. We first must strive before all else to do as Loxias bade us, and thence take our auspices. With lustral waters lave thy father's grave. Thus shall we surely win vantage at each step, victory in the end. Exeunt. Enter Electra from the palace. Electra. O holy light, O circumambient air, what wailings of despair, what sight have ye not witnessed in the first grey morn? Beatings of breasts and bosoms madly torn. By night for me is spread no festal banquet in this haunted hall, but my lone pallet bed. All night I muse upon my father dead, not in a foreign land at Ares' call, but here at home, by my own mother slain. Her and Aegisthus, these adulterers twain, felled by their axes' bloody stroke, e'en as the woodman fells an oak. And I, O Father, I alone of all thy house am left forlorn to make my moan, to mourn thy piteous fall. Yet never, while these eyes behold, or sun, or star bespangled skies, will I restrain my plaint, my bitter cries, but like some nightingale my ravished nest bewail, and through these halls shall sound my groans and sighs. Halls of Persephone and death, guide of the shades, O Hermes and O Wraith, ye god-sprung Furies dread, who watch when blood is shed, or stain the marriage bed, or aid me to avenge my father slain, or send my brother back again. Alone, no more I countervail grief that overloads the scale. Enter Chorus. Chorus. Child of a mother all unblessed, Electra, how in grief that knows no rest thou witherest, mourning thy father's cruel fate, by her betrayed and slaughtered by her mate. Black death await the plotter of that sin, if prayer so bold may answer win. Electra. Ah, noble friends, ye come, I see, to ease my misery. Your kind intent, oh, trust me, I perceive, yet can I never leave my task, each day, each hour anew, to shed tears o'er my father dead. Oh, kindly hearts, so ready to repay all friendship owes, leave me, oh, leave me, this one boon, I pray, to my wild woes. Chorus. Yet him, thy sire, from Acheron's dark shore, by prayers or cries thou never canst restore, no, nevermore, and by excess of grief thou perishest. If remedy be none, were it not best from grief to rest? Oh, rest thee! Why thus nurse thy fruitless misery? Electra. That child's insensate who remembers not his sire's sad lot. O bird of Zeus, to thine I'll set my note, who with full throat for Aetus grieves from eve till morn. Ah, Niobe forlorn, how blessed art thou who tombed in stone dost lie and weep for aye. Chorus. Not thou alone hast sorrow, others share thy load of care. Think on thy kinsfolk, whom afflictions press than thine no less. Iphianassa and Chrysothemis, think of thy brother. Sorrow now is his, an exiled youth, yet shortly shall he come by heaven's good guidance home, and glad Mycenae shall Orestes own, heir to his father's throne. Electra. Yea, for him long years I wait, unwed, childless, desolate, drenched with tears that ever flow for my barren load of woe, and the wrongs whereof he wot or hath heard are all forgot. All those messages are vain, how he hopes to come again, how for home his heart doth yearn, yet he wills not to return. Chorus. Take heart, my child. Zeus still in heaven is king, and orders everything. To him commit the wrath that gnaws thy breast. His will is ever best. Nurse, as is meet, thy vengeance, but abate excess of hate, for time can heal. A gentle god and mild, nor Agamemnon's child, who long by Chrysa's pastoral shore remains, nor he who reigns o'er Acheron, will nevermore relent. Electra. Nay, but for me is spent the best of life. I languish in despair, foredone with care, without a parent's love or husband's aid, an orphaned maid. Here in the chambers of my sire I wait in low estate, or like a stranger who in beggar's weeds on fragments feeds. Chorus. Dire was the voice that greetest first thy sire's return, and dire the cry that from the banquet chamber burst, a wail of agony. What time the brazen axe's blow struck him and laid him low, 'twas lust begat and craft conceived the deed, a monstrous offspring of a monstrous seed, whether a god or mortal wrought the woe. Electra. Dawn, the darkest of all morrows, night, the crown of all my sorrows, when that foul feast for the dead by those traitors twain was spread, who slew my sire, me too in slaying him they slew. May the great Olympian King send on them like suffering. Bitter be of sin the fruit. May they perish branch and root. Chorus. Oh, curb thy tongue. Hast thou no thought how thine own misery thou hast wrought, and mak'st a burden of thy life by ever heaping strife on strife in sullen mood? Ill fares the right when feebleness contends with might.
Electra.
Bitter constraint compelled me, and I know my heart with wrath did overflow. But never while life lasts will I control, thus wronged, the indignant passion of my soul. Ye mean me well, but solace is there none for woes like mine, so all who know must own. Forbear, kind comforters, forbear. Be sure a case so desperate admits no cure. What respite to my sorrows, what relief? No tears, no moans can satisfy such grief.
Chorus.
Oh, heap not misery on misery. As a fond mother I would plead with thee.
Electra.
No, for this villainy grows and knows no bound. Where can a race be found so vile as they to disregard the dead? By praise of such men I were ill bestead. Oh, may I ne'er, if fate should on me smile, in careless ease sad memories beguile, clipping the pinions of my mournful song, the dirges due that to my sire belong. For if to dust and nothingness the dead are doomed, nor blood for blood be shed, farewell to sanctities of law, farewell to reverence and awe.
Chorus.
I came in thy behalf no less than mine, daughter, but if my words displease thee, well, have it thy way, we follow thee no less.
Electra.
It shames me, friends, that ye should thus set down to frowardness my too persistent grief. But since I yield to hard necessity, bear with me. How indeed could any woman of noble blood, who sees her father's home plague-stricken, as I see it night and day, and each day stricken worse, not do as I? For me a mother's love has turned to hate. In my own home on sufferance I live with my sire's murderers, on whose will it rests to give or to withhold my daily bread. Think what a life is mine, to see each day Aegisthus seated on my father's throne, wearing the royal robes my father wore, pouring libations on the hearth whereat he slew him, and, to crown his insolence, the assassin lays him in my father's bed beside my mother. Mother shall I call his paramour? So lost to shame is she that the adulteress fears no vengeance. No, as if exulting in her infamy, she watches month to month to know the day whereon by treachery she slew my sire, and keeps that day with dance and sacrifice, each month of sheep to tutelary gods. Beholding this, I weep and waste within, and to myself bewail the unhallowed feast, named of my sire with silent tears, for e'en the luxury of wailing is denied me. This woman, saintly is her speech, upbraids and rates me thus. Ungodly, hateful girl, hast thou alone to bear a father's loss? Art thou the only mourner? Out upon thee, perdition seize thee, and in hell mayst thou find no deliverance from thy present grief. So rails she, save at times when rumors run Orestes is at hand. Then wild with rage she thunders in my ears, this is thy doing. Was it not thou who from my hands did steal Orestes and convey him safe away? Mark my words, thou shalt rue it. So she screams, and her abettors there to egg her on, her glorious consort who repeats her jibes, that rogue in grain, that dastardly poltroon who fights his battles with a woman's aid. Meanwhile I wait until Orestes comes to end my woes, and waiting pine away. Still, still he means to act, and never acts, and all my hopes are blasted, flower and root. In such a case what room is there, my friends, for patience, what for piety? In sooth, those in ill plight are driven to evil ways.
Chorus.
Stay, tell me, is Aegisthus nigh at hand, while thus thou speakest, or is he from home?
Electra.
From home, of course. Think you, were he within, I should thus venture forth. He is now afield.
Chorus.
More freely, then, may I converse with thee, if this is so.
Electra.
It is. Ask what thou wilt.
Chorus.
'Tis of thy brother I would question thee. Comes he, or tarries yet? I fain would know.
Electra.
He says I come, but does not what he says.
Chorus.
A man thinks twice with some great work in hand.
Electra.
I thought not twice when I delivered him.
Chorus.
Take heart, he is loyal and will not fail his friends.
Electra.
I trust him, else I had not lived so long.
Chorus.
No more for this time. At the doors I see Chrysothemis, thy sister, of one sire born and one mother. In her hands she bears gifts for the tomb that use and wont ordain.
Enter Chrysothemis.
Chrysothemis. Sister, why com'st thou once more to declaim in public at the outer gate? Has time not schooled thee to desist from idle rage? I too, my sister, chafe no less than thou at our sad fortunes, and had I the power, would make it plain how I regard our masters. But in the storm 'tis best to reef the sail, nor utter threats we cannot execute. I would thou wert like-minded, yet I know justice is on thy side, and I am wrong. Yet if I am to keep my liberty, I needs must bow before the powers that be.
Electra.
O shame that thou, the child of such a sire, shouldst him forget and take thy mother's part. For all these admonitions are not thine, a lesson thou repeatest, learnt of her. Make thine election, then, to be unwise, or show thy wisdom by forgetting friends. Thou saidst, if but the power were granted me, I would make plain the hate I feel for them. And yet when I am straining every nerve to avenge my sire, thou wilt not aid me. Nay, dissuadest, and wouldst have me hold my hand. Shall we to all our ills add cowardice? Tell me, or let me tell thee, what have I to gain by ceasing from my sad complaint? I still have life, a sorry life indeed, but good enough for me, and them I vex, and vexing them do honour to the dead. If anything can touch the world of shades, thou hatest? Nay, thy deeds belie thy words, while thou consortest with the murderers. So would not I, though they should offer me the pomp that makes thee proud, the loaded board, thy life of ease. No, I would never yield. Enough for me spare diet and a soul void of offence. Thy state I covet not, nor wouldst thou, wert thou wise. Men might have called thee child of the noblest sire that ever lived, be called thy mother's, rightly named as base, betrayer of thy dead sire and thy kin.
Chorus.
No angry words, I pray, for both of you there's profit in this parleying, if thou wouldst learn of her, and she in turn of thee.
Chrysothemis.
I know her moods too well to take offence, nor had I now approached her, but I learnt of new impending peril that is like to put a finish to her long-drawn woes.
Electra.
Say what can be this terror. If 'tis worse than what I now bear, I will call a truce.
Chrysothemis.
All I have learnt in full I will impart. They purpose, if thou wilt not stay thy plaints, to send thee where thou shalt not see the sun, far hence, to some dark dungeon, there to spend thy days and nights in litanies of woe. Therefore reflect, and blame me not too late. Take warning and repent while yet 'tis time.
Electra.
Had they indeed resolved to treat me thus?
Chrysothemis.
The instant that Aegisthus is returned.
Electra.
Well, for my part, I would he came back soon.
Chrysothemis.
Insensate girl, what mean'st thou by this prayer?
Electra.
Would he were here, if this be his intent.
Chrysothemis.
That thou mayst suffer? What? Hast lost thy wits?
Electra.
A flight long leagues away from all of you.
Chrysothemis.
Art thou indifferent to thy present life?
Electra.
Oh, 'tis a marvellously happy life.
Chrysothemis.
It might have been, couldst thou have schooled thyself.
Electra.
Teach me not basely to betray my friends.
Chrysothemis.
Not I. I teach submission to the strong.
Electra.
Fawn, if thou wilt, such cringing suits not me.
Chrysothemis.
Yet not to fall through folly were no blame.
Electra. If needs be, in a father's cause I'll fall.
Chrysothemis. I trust our father pardons us for this.
Electra. Traitors take refuge in like sentiments.
Chrysothemis. Thou wilt not heed then, or be ruled by me?
Electra. I am not in my dotage, save the mark.
Chrysothemis. Then I will do my errand.
Electra. Whither away? For whom art carrying these burnt offerings?
Chrysothemis. My mother bids me crown our father's grave.
Electra. Her mortal enemies? How sayest thou?
Chrysothemis. The husband whom she slew, so thou wouldst say.
Electra. Which of her friends advised her? Whence this whim?
Chrysothemis. A nightly vision warned her, so I think.
Electra. Gods of my fathers, aid me in this pass.
Chrysothemis. Dost thou take heart of courage from her dread?
Electra. Before I answer, let me hear the dream.
Chrysothemis. There is but little that I have to tell.
Electra. Tell it no less. A little word, men say, hath oftentimes determined weal or woe.
Chrysothemis. 'Tis said that she beheld thy sire and mine in bodily presence standing by her side, revisiting the light of day. He took the scepter of Aegisthus, once his own, and at the household altar planted it, and from it sprang and spread a fruitful bough till it o'ershadowed all Mycenae's land. Such is the tale one told me who was by when to the sun god she declared her dream. Further I know not, save that in alarm she sent me hither. Hearken then to me. Sister, I pray thee, by our household gods, fall not through folly. If thou spurn me now, too late in sorrow wilt thou seek my aid.
Electra.
Nay, let not aught, my sister, touch the tomb of all thou bearest. 'Twere a shame, a sin, to offer on behalf of her, the accursed, gifts or libations to our father's ghost. Scatter them to the winds, or bury them deep in the dust, where nothing may defile our father's lone couch. Let her find them there, a buried treasure, when she comes to die. Were she not abjectest of womankind, she ne'er had thought with offerings of hate to crown her murdered victim's sepulchre. Think'st thou 'tis likely that her buried lord will take these honors kindly at her hands? Who slew him without pity like a foe, mangled his corse, and for ablution washed the bloodstains on his head? Say, is it like these gifts will purge her of blood guiltiness? It cannot be. Fling them away, and cut a tress of thine own locks, and for my share give him from me, a poor thing, but my best, this unkempt lock, this girdle unadorned, then fall upon thy knees, and pray that he may come, our gracious champion from the dead, and that the young Orestes yet may live to trample underfoot his vanquished foes. So may we some day crown our father's tomb with costlier gifts than these poor offerings. I can but think, 'tis but a thought, that he had part in sending her this ominous dream. Still, sister, do this service, and so aid thyself and me, and him the most beloved of all men, e'en though dead, thy sire and mine.
Chorus. 'Tis piously advised, and thou, my daughter, wilt do her bidding if thou art discreet.
Chrysothemis.
I will. When duty calls, 'twere lack of sense for two to wrangle. Both should join to act. Only when I essay this perilous task, be silent, and thou love me, friends. For if my mother hears of it, I shall have cause to rue my indiscretion soon or late.
Exit Chrysothemis.
Chorus. Count me a prophet false, a witless wight, if justice who inspires my prophecy comes not, my child, to vindicate the right. She comes, and that right speedily. My heart grows bold and nothing fears. That dream was music in my ears. It tells me that thy sire, who whilom led the Greeks to victory, hath not forgot. Yea, and that axe with double brazen head still thirsts for blood to wipe away its blot. So leaping from her ambush, brazen shod, comes the Erinnes with an armed host's tread, for she hath seen a pair who knew not God, driven by lust to an adulterous bed, a bed with stains of murder dyed, a bridal without groom or bride. Therefore I know that not in vain is sent this portent that the fall of guilt foretells. For, if this vision fails of its intent, vain is all sooth, all dreams, all oracles. O chariot race of Pelops old, the source of sorrows manifold, what endless curse hath fallen on us since to his sea-grave Myrtilus sank from the golden chariot hurled, woe upon woe, of woes a world. Enter Clytemnestra. End of part 1. Recording by expatriate in Bangor, Maine.